Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Lauren.
Mike.
How excited would you be about a new social network where you just listen to people talk?
Like Reply Guys on Twitter? Or you mean Clubhouse?
Well, sure. But also in addition to getting to hear people talk, you can also just read their posts in a feed.
Oh, so like Clubhouse, but on Twitter.
Sort of. But do either of those comparisons really bode well for a new social app?
We're talking about a new social app? Did Silicon Valley come up with a new social app?
Yes, it has. And we should talk about it because you actually wrote a story about it.
It's true. I did. This is all just a setup.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I am Michael Calori, Wired's Director of Consumer Tech and Culture.
And I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
We are also joined once again by Wired's Director of Special Projects, Alan Henry. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Alan.
It's always good to be here.
Alan is joining us today because, like Lauren, he also got an early invite to this new app everyone is talking about. It's called AirChat, and we twisted his arm to tell us his thoughts.
It wasn't that much of an arm twisting. I have many opinions.
Okay, great. Well, so it does feel like the 2010s all over again. Today, we are talking about AirChat, a new social media app that's getting a lot of attention in tech circles. And the thing that sets AirChat apart in the social media world is that it's voice only. There is no typing allowed. The app shows you a feed of posts from all of the people you follow, but their posts are audio clips. Everyone is into leaving voice notes in their private messaging apps these days. This is like that, but in public. Your voice notes get sent out to the world immediately. It's like a chaotic marriage of Twitter and Clubhouse with a side of voicemail. AirChat is also invite only, so of course all the Silicon Valley elites are on it. That also means there's a long list of people stuck on the outside who are very interested in waiting their turn to get in. Now, Lauren, you are a Silicon Valley insider.
Oof.
You are.
What
yes.
does that mean?
With capital S, capital V, capital I. And you got an invite to AirChat. You used it. You wrote about it. Please explain AirChat to us.
How do I even begin? Maybe we should start with a little context, which is that over the past 20 years, Silicon Valley has obviously transformed our social lives with the rise of social media. And then when the App Store launched in 2008, things changed even more because suddenly there was this combination of constraint, like you can only do and see so much on a physical phone screen, with these far-extending capabilities and sometimes an overreach, like being able to track your location. But it also means you can take photos and videos and dash off posts from anywhere, because of our mobile phones. So a lot of companies over the years have tried to launch social apps that take advantage of all of this. And some have been very successful, like Instagram, and until recently, Twitter. Mm-hmm. Many, many others have failed. AirChat is another attempt to make this work as a new social media app.
I see. So it's a feed of audio snippets.
Right. When you open the app, what it's going to look like is actually a feed of text blocks. Mm-hmm. But there's a play pause button in the lower. Everyone always makes fun of the way I say button. I'm sorry. That's how it comes out.
It's very Connecticut.
That's not Silicon a dig. Silicon Valley, Connecticut. Okay.
That's not a dig.
Okay. So when you open the app, you see the text blocks, and then there is the play pause button in the lower right. And when you tap play, it starts to play the audio. So it is an audio first app, because the way that you share is you hold down the record button and then you record a voice note. And as soon as you let go, it like goes into the feed. But because of the live, nearly live transcription feature in the app, it also prints out those, you know, those text blocks immediately. And so you can read those as you're listening to it. And it is kind of this, like I use the word chaotic. It is kind of this chaotic Twitter-like experience. But if as you were scrolling Twitter, everything was being read aloud to you.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like an endless scroll of people talking.
Right. And there are mechanisms that aren't fully clear to me yet. You can follow people. They can follow you. You see replies. The replies get very confusing. The threads, they get very confusing. It's hard to go back and find the thing that you saw earlier, or, pardon me, listen to earlier. There are some rules around what replies you can listen to and which ones you can't, because you can mute or block people. Yeah, it's a little bit confounding, which is what I wrote in the Wired story. It is a little bit unique. Because it's asynchronous audio, whereas one of the references you made earlier, Clubhouse, was just a live stream of audio.
Right. So, yeah, Clubhouse, you went into a room and there were people talking in the room and you could put your hand up and speak. But mostly it was just centered around listening and maybe participating in like an actual live conversation.
Right. And Twitter now has that too.
Yes. Everybody has it.
Yeah. They've had some well-known technical difficulties in the past. Alan, what's been your experience on AirChat?
It's more or less the same. So it's been interesting, because the first thing I saw upon redeeming my invite and joining AirChat was a post at the very top of the screen that said, "Hi, everybody. Let's make each other happy with our mouths today." I mean, you know that meme of the guy that kind of walks in with the pizzas and everything's on fire? And I'm kind of like, well, okay, this is what I signed up for. It's strange. It's such a weird app, and I'm of two minds of it. Like, on the one hand, everything you just said is exactly true and real, and it's literally like, if you don't listen to the posts, it feels like I'm reading someone's stream of consciousness, because it's transcribing what people say, and the way we talk is different than the way we write, you know. So I see a lot of things that are just people kind of rambling on and on about, I don't know, hi, good morning, or let's have a great day, or something like that, you know? And then that's interspersed with the people who are like, I'd like to welcome the CTO of X company to AirChat. And, oh, and I so-and-so redeemed my invite. Welcome this person to AirChat. The person who invited me said, when you join, just fill out your profile and I'll introduce you. And I was like, I need an introduction on a social network. She never did do that intro, by the way. So I'm just kind of hanging out over here.
Yeah, you were like, I just want to lurk.
And I mean, for the most part, I have been lurking. And it's just so strange. It's such a combination of very obviously Silicon Valley conversations. I mean, I've just learned late in the day yesterday that there are topics you can follow. They're kind of like channels almost, but not really, because you see them interspersed with the main feed. But I mean, the channels are so clearly, this app is built in Silicon Valley for people who are from Silicon Valley. Some of the topics include effective accelerationism and crypto.
Oh, and cryptocurrency? People talk about cryptocurrency?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's crypto talk. And I mean, but there's also the normal stuff. Cats, dogs, politics, you know,
relationships.
Critical rationalism.
Yes. It's a weird intersection of topics. It is. I would say it's a dichotomy of both Silicon Valley mundanity and then like hype beast stuff. But it's not. Yeah. It is not just a couple different types of content. It's all out there. It's like Alan was describing. One of the first things I saw was Gary Tan, the CEO of Y Combinator, saying that breakfast is like. I'm paraphrasing what makes people successful and what did everyone have for breakfast today? And then like someone responds like bacon and eggs. And I'm like, wow, this is early Twitter. What am I having for lunch? Then shortly afterwards, I stumbled upon one of the channels that was just called War, and it had over 500 members in it. And the conversations ranged from Iran's recent drone strike attempt on Israel, the war in Gaza, the genocide in Gaza, U.S.-China tensions, Russia and Ukraine. It like really ran the gamut. And there were a lot of strong opinions and quote unquote people doing their own research. Mm-hmm. Someone did say sort of snarkily in that channel, yes, more VCs posting about geopolitics. It definitely had that feeling of people are also discussing this on Twitter and threads right now. And you sort of don't know what to trust. And it gets very noisy very quickly.
Ooh, I see. Well, before we take a break, Lauren, I know there's some interesting pedigree with this app, like who the founders are. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, good question. So one of the founders is Brian Norgaard. He is a former chief product officer at Tinder. He was there for several years. And the app actually launched sometime last year without much fanfare. And then another person came in, Nival Ravikant, and he is the founder of AngelList. And he's got a long-standing reputation in Silicon Valley for being an entrepreneur and investor. I saw one person describe him as kind of a philosopher type in Silicon Valley. And he told me in an air chat that he joined a couple of months ago. The app had pivoted twice, and he also funded the app and became kind of the driving force behind its relaunch just last weekend. And he is the person who has been responding to a lot of the inquiries within the app, both to journalists like myself and Dave Lee from BBC asked a couple of questions and others are chiming in, but just to users and it's kind of interesting how he's been responding. I tried to DM him and he politely responded and said, let's take this to the public channel because talking in DMs is the old world and this is the new world. And then he kind of like compelled me to leave these thirsty voice notes for him, asking him questions in front of everyone, which is fine, but it was asynchronous.
Yeah.
And then the conversation got really interesting and we should talk about that.
Okay, that's a good place to take a break. Let's come right back and we'll get into it.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
So AirChat creates almost real-time transcripts of your voice once you post a voice note. And based on our observations so far, those transcripts are pretty good, even useful. As journalists, we work with transcripts a lot, and they're also really important for people who rely on language translation or for people who can't necessarily hear voice notes because of a disability. But of course, all of that transcription is done using machine learning and artificial intelligence. And since we're living in a world now where data is being scraped all the time to build powerful AI models, it is absolutely worth asking what AirChat is going to do with all of this voice data that is being uploaded into their app. So, Lauren, you asked the founder this question on Air Chat.
That was my only option, just to keep the Air Chat voice notes flowing. Yeah, there were a couple different layers to this. He did say that Air Chat might use voice notes and transcriptions to improve their own app, which is something that we hear quite a bit now with apps that are using AI. Sometimes you can opt in, sometimes you can opt out. This just seems that once you use the app, you're in it. He also said that he doesn't plan to sell Air Chat data to outside entities that are building LLMs. And then I asked, well, what if they just scrape it anyway? Because to your point, that's what's happening on the internet these days. And he had this kind of funny response, which is just basically, if I had satellites in orbit, I would like nuke them. And then a reporter from Bloomberg followed up to that question, and he had gone through the terms of service of Air Chat and basically said to Naval Ravikant, again in a voice chat, you know, it looks like you guys can do anything with this data. That's what the TOS says. And even if you're not giving away this data now, you know, for others to make AI models with them, you could potentially in the future. And Naval Ravikant basically said, look, this is where it gets a little interesting. Look, terms and conditions are written by lawyers in ChatGPT these days. So, you know, you going through a magnifying glass right now isn't useful when I've got a product to build, I've got code to write. It was a very like tech entrepreneur type response. And then he basically said, settle down. I'm glad he wasn't saying or writing this to me because, yeah. And he said, if you're a person who gets your knickers in a bunch over terms of service, then just don't use the app. It was amazingly unconcerned with the reporter's question. So Naval so far, you know, as the founder of Air Chat, is someone who is both very responsive to questions in this app and remarkably glib. And these are real concerns that people have right now about AI.
Yeah. Alan, what do you think? Everything that, well, see, you haven't spoken into the app much yet, but once you do, do you think that everything is just going to be used to train LLMs?
Yes. I mean, I have no, I both respect that response, right? Because on some level, he's not wrong.
Right.
TOSs and things are written by lawyers to give you the most possible runway to do whatever you want to keep this business alive. I get it. And yet, like, two things can be true, as my therapist always tells me. And like, but also, I mean, I look at this and I think about how good the transcription is. And I'm like, some company is going to make a bid for this and they're going to buy it up and they're going to keep it running and they're going to use it to train an LLM or train some other model. And then at that point, he's like, well, I'm trying to build a company. Yeah, we get it. You know, what's this company going to do is the question we're trying to get to. It's just one of those things where, like, as I look through the app, I mean, granted, I'm so removed from kind of Silicon Valley vibes and culture, but I still kind of understand a little bit of it, that I see that this is for a very specific kind of person that is disconnected from, you know, I don't know, the... First thing that comes to mind is Walmart just settled a class action lawsuit because their cash registers were overweighing groceries. You know what I mean? That's not a conversation that's going to happen in Air Chat. It's just not. The people in there are not those people who were interested in having that conversation. So that's fine. But let's not pretend that the app is something that it's not, right? Like, someone's going to want this data and they're going to offer you enough money to get it.
Right. It's a build mindset that Absolutely. We observe and write about a lot in Silicon Valley. And the people who are on this app so far are tech enthusiasts, early adopters, mm-hmm. VCs, journalists like us who cover this. You're right, Alan. It's like there are probably some channels and some conversations that are happening there that are interested in the rights of consumers, the rights mm-hmm. of the lay people, you know, not the early adopters, the people who are just like, hey, you know, the old saying, like, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right? Like, fundamentally, the people who are the training data for this. But right now, the cacophony of voices is kind of concentrated on the people who are like, yeah, new thing, let's do it, hop aboard.
And given that audience, and also given the fact that the app is invite only right now, it may not seem to the community that something like moderation is a huge priority. I don't know if how they feel about moderation or how they're looking at moderation. But sooner or later, when it opens up to the wide world, they're going to have to start moderating the conversations in a way that they don't have to really moderate when it's a bunch of people who work in the tech industry. So how do the moderation tools feel now? What sorts of things can you do? What sorts of things can't you do? And what does the next year of moderation on AirChat look like?
I mean, that's a great question, right? I mean, I'm going to look at the app right now again, just to make sure. You can block people, you can mute people. Mm-hmm. But as far as I can tell, that's it, right? You can't do too much else. And now, granted, I'm using the app on Android, which I don't know if there are any substantial differences between the Android version and the iOS version, but that's about it. You don't really get to, there's no muting, there's no keyword muting, there's no topic filtration, there's no anything like that. I mean, I don't even think you can directly report users.
I haven't seen the direct reporting then. That's a really good question. I haven't looked into that.
Yeah, I don't think you can. You can block and mute a user, but you can't do anything else. And I mean, I guess that's fine when you're a nascent social network, right? Because the eternal September comes for all of us, and eventually you're just going to get people in who are going to say wild things. And what is going to stop someone from, I mean, other than the invite trail, joining AirChat and posting a really, really immediately transcribed odious manifesto or something? And I mean, of course, you know, I just looking at the app, and I understand the challenges of moderating social network. Like, I'm a big Blue Sky person, so I've watched that network go from no moderation to some moderation to community-based moderation. But I don't see anything like that happening here. I think that AirChat's going to probably wind up being yet another app that pretends to have no values. That's like, oh, well, we don't want to, freedom of speech and everything, and we're not going to take anybody's voices away, including the Nazis and the other people over there that are calling for your death. I mean, I'm so sorry that they are, but I don't have too much faith. I really, mm-hmm. really don't. In some level, I think that's okay at this stage, because I love that the future of social media seems to be these smaller, more concentrated networks of people who actually do want to talk to each other, as opposed to people who don't, but just want to fight. And I do like that that's kind of how we seem to be trending, as opposed to kind of the big outsized power that a lot of the big platforms have had. People are starting to kind of realize that, like, wow, that's a lot of influence you have on my life and my feelings. But you can't run a business that way, right? You can't chase scale and also say, I want to be a small gated neighborhood where everybody who comes in is somebody I know understands me, us, and is going to have a good time. Those two things just don't match.
Yeah. In the short time that I've been on it, I've seen some content that's pretty questionable. And I wonder if those people are actually just pushing the boundaries to see what the content moderation policy is. The company's stated policy is that it's kind of one person for themselves, that you have autonomy to mute or block, mm-hmm. but they're not taking kind of a widespread platform up or platform down approach yet. The stuff that I saw included a couple of people engaging in a conversation about gay Jewish teens, and they seemed to very intentionally be doing it. They were just volleying back and forth. And so I suspect those people were kind of red teaming the moderation policies. Another person seemed legitimately irate at the founders and was dropping F-bombs at them and calling them out and demanding that they perform fellatio, which is the most polite way I will say this on the podcast. You know what it means. Like, and so that person I checked a day or two later, and that voice note was still up. The way that Naval described it actually in a DM to me is that he envisions this being a little bit like a dinner party or a Parisian salon, where there are going to be people who are at the dinner, are at the salon, and they might say things that are offensive or that you don't like, and you may ask them to leave, but there's no kind of overarching rules at the door. And you know, I don't believe these founders, like, I don't believe he's a sweet summer child who doesn't understand how this works. So I wouldn't say it's naive. It's like it's something. It's a choice right now. And it is while the network is small. And if it does happen to grow and doesn't flame out, then content moderation is going to become an extremely thorny issue for them.
Right. Okay. Well, best of luck with that strategy to the folks at AirChat.
Right. Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall of their Parisian salon.
I'm just waiting for an invite. I have to say that, like, Alan, you're not the co-host of a tech podcast at Wired, and yet you got an invite. I'm still waiting on mine. So when I do get invited, I would love it if you would introduce me.
I will follow through on introducing you.
Thank you. Maybe question mark. Also, the app seems to be going in and out of invite only mode.
Yeah.
Like they closed it down and then they opened it up again briefly for iOS and then they closed. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Nobody ever wants me in their party anyway.
No, that's not true. Oh,
the first thing I do is pair my phone to the Bluetooth speaker. When I show up at the party.
Let me tell you about that. He did that at my house once. All of a sudden, Enya was playing and I was chatting with people and I was like, is this Enya?
The answer is yes.
Playing on the speaker?
It is Enya.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds like the start of a great party.
Right?
Never let Mike take over your Bluetooth.
Okay. Well, Mike is going to take over the conversation at this point and say that we are going to take another break and come right back with our recommendations.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, J. Paul, Muna, Jesse Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.
Okay, we've reached the third part of our episode where we go around the room and we each give recommendations for things our listeners might enjoy. Alan, you get to go first. What's your recommendation?
My recommendation is a YouTube channel called Kurzgesagt in a nutshell. I love them. I can't believe I haven't mentioned them before, but like I buy their calendar every year. They are just a bunch of guys in Germany who have been making explanatory like videos about everything from what space travel would actually be like and how far the observable universe actually stretches and whether wormholes are possible things. I know it's a lot of space science I'm saying, but that's just my background. There's more. They do other things too.
What else do they do?
I mean, they also like they had a whole series on how your body's immune system works at the microscopic level. And I've never thought of my body as a constantly raging battlefield before, but now I do. And it makes me feel kind of cool. Like on some level, my body is at combat readiness at all times. And wow. I mean, including when I'm on the couch eating pizza, which is wild to me. But anyway, they're a great YouTube channel. They do these videos like I think about once a week. They have a store too, which they have lots of cool little posters about like stellar. They just launched a poster about stellar evolution, which is I am the target audience for that. No one else, but how stars develop from protostars to end of their lives. I'm the only person who cares about that. But it's okay because I'm going to buy that poster. So anyway, YouTube channel, check it out. It's really cool.
What are the posters or the calendar like?
The posters are usually pretty big and heavy quality, like very, very nice. But the calendar I've been getting for a long time. The thing I love about the calendar is that they're like this year is 2024. So to them, the calendar is the human era 12,024. They add 10,000 years because it's like a calendar that goes all the way back to the beginning of the agricultural age. So the extent of human history, about an additional 12,000 years. A couple of years ago, their whole calendar was archaeology. Last year, their calendar was all the microscopic world. This year, it's all exoplanets and space science. So it's pretty neat. Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's extremely wired.
It's so wired. I know. As I'm saying that's really cool, I'm thinking that is so nerdtastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we specialize in here.
That's right.
I mean, we just spent however long talking about an audio-only, invite-only social networking app for nerds.
But everyone commuting in their cars right now really appreciates this.
True.
Thank you for that, Alan. That's lovely.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Lauren, what is your recommendation?
I have two. One is our colleague Julian's review of the Humane AI pin. If you haven't been following the other drama in Silicon Valley this week, it's reviews of the Humane AI pin. Marcus Brownlee, a well-known YouTuber who's got something like 18 million followers, really good at his job, hugely influential, panned it, just totally killed the Humane AI pin. Mm. And people are having a very strong reaction to that. Julian, our colleague, wrote a fantastic review as well. It's a good, thoughtful read. He also gave it a 4 out of 10. And the reason why it's good is because he's doing a consumer service for you. He is telling you you should probably not spend $700 on the first iteration of this product, which is what our jobs are as reviewers. Mm-hmm. So check that out. And my second recommendation is the movie Scoop on Netflix. A friend recommended it last week. I enjoyed it. It's the inside story of how a BBC team of producers managed to get the now infamous interview with Prince Andrew in the wake of the Epstein scandal.
Wow.
Yeah. And so as a journalist, you know, I appreciated it, seeing inside the newsroom, and it's a bit dramatized. And journalism movies always have that same kind of arc, right? Where, like, look, it's a bunch of people sitting at their desks making calls. It's a hard thing to make interesting. And yet, and then there's a little bit of patting on the back at the end. Like, we got the story, we got the scoop. But still, it's a great watch.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So does it go up there with other great recent journalism movies like She Said and Spotlight?
It's not at the level of Spotlight. It's not at the level of All the President's Men.
Maybe
but
more
it's,
like Frost Nixon.
It's I remember Frost Nixon. Yeah. I think I like covered that for the Wall Street Journal.
Huh.
I'm trying to remember. I remember.
No.
I'm like, I remember interviewing. I interviewed, Ron Howard. About it.
No, that's an assignment.
Yeah, right.
Write a story about a movie about a television show.
About right. Very, very meta media. This whole thing is so meta media. I'm like, read the story, then also go to the YouTube review about the thing that people are reacting to on Twitter and also air chat it. Nice. But yes, those are my recommendations.
Scoop on Netflix. Nice.
And yeah. What's your recommendation, Mike?
So I'm going to recommend that everybody check out Wired's new podcast. And this is not like self-dealing and or anything like that. I mean, it is, yes, technically. But like I listened to it. It's called Wired Politics Lab. I listened to it because I introduced it on our feed last week. And it is excellent. It's very good. It's a brand new podcast. We just launched it. We have a politics team. They're covering the 2024 election here in the United States, where we will be selecting a president and we will be determining who controls Congress and we'll be passing all kinds of laws at the state and local level. And of course, it's an extremely online election and there's a bunch of shenanigans. There's disinformation, there's voter disenfranchisement, there are ads made by AI that might be deepfakes and might not. So it's very juicy and it's extremely fun. Most of the time, I just can't listen to politics stuff because it just drives me batty. But this is not one of those kinds of shows. Mm-hmm. It's about the technology and like the data scraping and the bad actors out there who are doing the work to try to influence the election. And it's also about the election itself. So I can't recommend it highly enough. If you have room in your brain for another politics podcast, this is the one to add. Wired Politics Lab. And I love that they went with lab with the name.
That's right. We're keeping it consistent here. And tell us what the first episode is about.
The first episode is about voter rights issues and how companies are using technology to try to get people off voter rolls. And to make tools that make it easy for local political organizations to challenge people's right to vote. The second episode is about RFK Jr. and his platform and all of the conspiracies that he believes in. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first one with Leah. Leah Feiger and David Gilber and Tori Elliott. And McKenna Kelly is a part of that team as well.
Yep. So if you've listened to the show for a while, you will recognize some of the people who are on Politics Lab. And if you listened to our feed last week, you heard the first episode and I introduced it. So definitely go subscribe. It's a great time. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Alan, thanks for joining us again.
Always. Thanks for having me. I will happily come back anytime.
Great.
And can I just give a quick shout out, by the way, to our excellent producer, Boone Ashworth, who we thank every week. But I want to give him a special thank you because we're currently in a new studio. We just moved offices at Wired. We had to basically rebuild the podcast studio from scratch. And when I say we, I really mean Arthur, our amazing colleague, but Boone and you, Mike, who just put this podcast studio together in about a day. So thanks to you guys. And right now we're in the library, actually. So we're staring at this amazing assortment of old Wired spines. And those of you who are longtime subscribers know the spines are a trademark feature of Wired. It's super cool.
Yep. It's very colorful.
It's a great room.
Thanks.
So thanks, guys.
Of course. Do it all for the pod. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. If you have feedback, you can bark at all of us on air chat. Just check the show notes. No DMs. We have to talk in public. Our producer, as Lauren just mentioned, is the excellent Boone Ashworth. We will be back next week with a new show. And until then, goodbye. I LOL'd.
Look,
I typed
judging,
LOL
okay?
And I LOL'd.
And LOL'd IRL. You LOL'd IRL?
I did.
But did you LMAO?
I didn't lament. I went, ha! Okay, let's record some content.
Okay,
here's the... Want a new podcast to look forward to each week? One that's entertaining, informative, and packed with actionable content? Come on, of course you do. Introducing The Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside your own brain. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors, and scientists to mobsters, spies, and hostage negotiators. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, G-E-R, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.